All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Stripper Whisper, the podcast where I get behind the G-string and interview strippers about their lives outside the clubs, what it's like working inside the clubs, and how we can all be good customers in their spaces. Today, we're virtual and we're international with Alma from Mexico.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yes, from Mexico. Thank you.
Say hello. Hi.
Hello. How are you? Hola, ¿cómo están?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. No comprende. we are here and you're listening, obviously, but the episodes are also on our Patreon. If you'd like to see a video of the beautiful Alma and my ugly face, check it out there.
No, actually, you're handsome.
Oh, thank you. Wow. now I can't even talk. You have me flustered. Or on Instagram, you could see Alma or request her. She has, it's a private, so she's, you got a request, and she might say no to you because you might be a weirdo, but Alma, A-L-M-A, Christina, C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A-A-A. Yeah, triple A. We're going to go, listen, you're the first, I'm going to say you're the second real international guest. Okay, because we've had London.
Okay.
I don't count Canada.
Canada okay. Doesn't count. Why?
It's the same as
it's the
U.S.
It's the same as the United States. Okay.
Yes,
it's not. But okay.
Yes, it's North America.
Okay.
It counts, but I don't count it.
Okay.
But you are our first international guest. From a country that is not traditionally Caucasian, that is not traditionally, I don't know anything about Mexico, Mexican strip clubs. We're so excited to have you and very interested.
That's
which
good.
City in Mexico?
I'm living right now in Aguascalientes, Mexico, which is right in the middle of Mexico. They call the heart of Mexico because it's like a little state in the middle, so they call the heart of Mexico.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually the second safest state to live on Mexico, but it's really different to live here than in the United States because I don't know, it's different.
It's all relative, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, have you? We'll get into all. Have you lived any other countries or only Mexico?
United States, and that's it.
Okay, for how long were you in the U.S.?
I was over there for 3 years. Mm. Then I got deported.
Wow.
Yeah, my bad.
That's we'll talk about that if you're comfortable. Momentarily.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm already.
Yeah, you seem open to talking about everything. But if you want to give some money or some other support besides just following on Instagram, Alma is also on Twitter, Alma Christina, with just one A and a 96 on the end. On OnlyFans, give her a bunch of money. Alma Christina, just one A, A-L-M-A, C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A. And one of her specialties, is that fair to say, on OnlyFans and other places on the internet, is sitting on cakes. Yes, so you can find her on Pornhub and Xvideos at Alma Cakes, A-L-M-A Cakes. Yeah. I may or may not be checking that out later. I did not know prior, so no awkwardness, right? I didn't follow on OnlyFans yet, so okay. We got a lot to get into, but first, before we do that, let's go ahead and cheers with a shot.
Okay, minus cheers.
Salud. Salud. Salud.
Salud.
That I know. I know dos por uno.
Dos por uno, tacos.
And I know donde el baño. But I've never actually been to...
You've never been here?
Mexico, no.
Okay, I'm gonna bring you to Mexico, okay?
Please, yes. Okay. I would love to visit. Yeah. And you did say it was the second safest state. However...
However, it's dangerous.
We weren't able to do our last
interview
because
there was a shooting.
What did you get to the bottom of it? Do you know what's happened?
Just a lot of traffic, and I couldn't get to my house because there was a lot of traffic. But we're actually like, it is like normal to us. Mm. Like, oh, there's a shooting. Okay, good. You know.
Wow.
It's sad, but it's true.
Sure. Yeah, that's interesting. There are a lot of big cities in America where that's similar, but it sounds like it's different for you. When you lived in the States, where did you live?
I was living first on Anaheim, then I moved to Buena Park, then I moved to Long Beach, then I was trying to go to downtown LA, but... Mm. When I was trying to go to LA, I got deported. So I was just living over there. Fullerton, Buena Park, Anaheim, and Long Beach. That's it.
You were just trying to get away from ICE or what?
I was moving because at first, when I moved to United States, I moved over there because I'm a Tahitian dancer. So that was like my I was motivated to go to California because my favorite dancer was teaching over there. The name of the school is Nonocina. So they are like really famous around the world. And I was like pursuing my dream on being a good dancer. So I went to California. I did this casting to get into the Black Team, which is the competition team. So I got into the competition team. Then my teacher was like, oh, where do you live? I'm like, oh, I live in Anaheim. I don't know where do I live. I don't know anything. And she was like, oh, okay, you can move to my house. You can come to my house. And she was like really, really nice. And she was like feeding me literally with, I was paying only $10 a day. And she was feeding me. I had a whole house with a pool. I have a closet for me. I have my whole room, and it was really cool. And then I moved to Buena Park with the founder of the school, which she passed away 1 year ago because of COVID. And then I didn't have nowhere to go. Then I moved to Long Beach. That's why I was like moving around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's much more interesting than my joke, which is good. Tahitian dance.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
Well, Tahitian dance is a dance from the island of Tahiti. It's on the Pacific. It's not the same, but most of the people think Hawaiian and Tahitian. When you see the Hawaiian girls shaking like their hips and like moving their hips, that's Tahitian. Because it's Polynesian culture from the Polynesian islands. So a lot of people get confused because they don't know the difference about Tahitian, Samoan, Hawaiian, and a lot of the movements or the dances. But what I've been doing my whole life is Ori Tahiti, which is Tahitian dance from the island of Tahiti. You basically move your hips like really fast and you follow the drum beats and you follow like the lyrics of the song. You follow everything with your hands. And that's basically what I moved to United States.
Wow, it's so interesting. And in the U.S., where you had moved, there was top-level teachers and schools. And the ultimate goal, had you stayed, would have been what? To be cast in something? Or how would you get work as a dancer?
As a stripper?
Well, no, sorry, as a Tahitian
dancer.
As a Tahitian dancer?
Okay. Yeah. It wasn't like a job. It's actually a school, so you have to pay to dance over there.
Sure.
And I was just trying to pursue my dream on being on that team, but I didn't really know what I was going to do. So I came to California because my dance teacher was posting on her Instagram, like, oh, we have this how do you say, casting. Mm. If you wanna join, just like send me an email, blah, blah, blah. And by that time I had a lot of money because I was doing real estate here in Mexico. So I had like, on dollars is $15,000 probably. And I was like, oh, what can I do with this? I'm gonna follow my dream, which is being a professional Tahitian dancer. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna buy my flight. I'm gonna fly to California. And yeah. Then it was Wednesday. I was in California on Friday. And I was stripping on Sunday. So it's really like
so,
the whole story.
We will definitely get into the stripping, but as a professional Tahitian dancer, can you make money and get jobs and work?
Actually, if you want, you can. But there is a lot of confusion because the culture, it's like really like closed and like tight. Tahitian people, they don't want everybody to be like, oh, I'm dancing Tahitian and I'm making money out of it. They want their culture, like being really, they want you to respect their culture. Yeah. So it's not like belly dancing. If you are a belly dancer, you can like go to restaurants and you can dance over there and they give you money and everything. But I've never seen Tahitian dancing as an income of money because I know they get mad. Not like they get mad, but you have to be really smart to be a teacher and to teach other like people or kids or children to be a good Tahitian teacher.
Yeah.
So I've never been into that. I just like to dance. It's my passion, but I've never been interested on like making money or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
So the dream was to be on the team and be a member of that and just dance. And do you, there's a level, I assume, of honor and respect that is difficult if you're not in the culture to attain. And a lot of Americans don't have a hard time understanding that when it comes to any culture. So that's, that wasn't probably, that's something that you're probably familiar with in Mexican culture. There are things that are similar probably for you, but not so much for me. I don't you know.
Yeah, actually my teacher, I don't know if you have seen the movie Moana, which is a princess. Okay, so my teacher, she was like the choreographer of the of that movie. So she's like super famous in the Polynesian world. She's really good.
That's amazing. Wonderful. Yeah. So you are a legitimately good dancer. And that's,
I think I am.
No, I believe it for sure. And then that, were you this was all how recent? A couple years ago?
It was 3 years ago.
Okay. And you, did you, now it's stripping, did you do that in Mexico before you came and were finding
it? Never.
Really?
Never. Yeah, never.
So you came to America, the state. You came to California.
Yeah.
You decided on a Wednesday, showed up on a Friday. You were stripping in a strip club by Sunday?
Yeah. So the thing was that I bought a house to flip it. Like I like to do house flipping. So I bought this house, but I was still owing like $3,000 to my mom because she lent me that money. Mm. So my mom was like, oh yeah, like you're gonna pay me, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm gonna do. So I was looking for jobs in the United States and I was like, what can I do over there? Okay, so I'm a dancer. I'm gonna try to look for a job to be a dancer. And I was looking on, I was Googling it and I was like, dancer jobs. And then it says like an ad. We're hiring exotic dancers. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna be like, something like Moulin Rouge, like burlesque, something like that. I'm gonna be on a theater. I'm gonna be, I don't know.
Exotic.
And then I clicked on it and it was like, are you gonna be a stripper? I was like, okay, so let's go to like, see what is it. I wasn't scared, and then I searched on YouTube for this like stripper job, and I watch a video of a stripper that is called Jamila, something like that, and then another one that is called Christina, and they were saying like, oh, like here in America it's really safe to be a stripper. If your manager tells you that you have to get naked in front of them, don't do that. That is not allowed. You just have to get naked on the stage, blah blah blah. And I was like, okay, like I like that. I don't care about like getting naked at all.
Yeah.
Because when I was little, one family member tried to like, actually he took me pictures of myself, and then he posted on some ex porn sites.
Wow.
So since I was little, I was really into it. I don't know why, but it was my life. So then I was like, okay, I'm gonna try that. I bought my flight, and then I was in California again.
Wow. And so in Anaheim, it was in Anaheim, the club, or near Anaheim?
Yeah, first I was trying to go to this club that is like an actual international club franchise.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I want to work here because I live two blocks away, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And the DJ was like, oh, no, we can have you here because you're not from here. You need to show you your American passport. And I was like, no, but I don't have an American passport. I'm from Mexico. And I called you because I called them.
Yeah.
Before I was going into the club because I wasn't going to buy a whole trip to not being hired.
Yeah.
So and he was like, no, we can have you here because you're not from here. If you have your social security number, you can work here, but no, I can't help you.
Wow.
And I was like, I was taking it, and I was like, oh, can you please help me? Like, I really need a job. I don't have money. Like, I need a job right now.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'm going to tell you, but don't say anything. Just go there and you'll get hired. And I was like, okay, how far is it from here? He's like, oh, probably like 10 minutes. Okay. But by that time, I was like, oh, damn, like $15 on Uber, which here in Mexico is $300. I was like, damn, I'm going to get poor in 3 days. I'm not gonna do it.
Right.
So basically, they told me, like, just go to that club and tell them that you're not from here. They're going to hire you. I already talked with the manager. And I was like, okay, I don't think they're going to hire me. But okay, I was like, okay, let's go.
You have to go, yeah.
Yeah, when the Uber came, how do you say it? When the Uber
picked you up?
Yeah, when the Uber picked me up, it was a lady, and she's like, "Oh, you work here?" I'm like, "No, I actually came here to do a casting, but they didn't allow me to work here because I'm not from here." And she's like, "Oh, do you speak Spanish?" "Yeah, I speak Spanish." "Oh, that's good. Oh, I'm gonna tell you something. You're going to make a lot of money working as a stripper." And I was like, is God talking to me? Why is my Uber driver a stripper? Like, like what? And she's like, yeah, I have 3 kids. I have a Mercedes. I have a Benz. But I'm driving this right now because I have nothing to do. If you see my face, I'm really old. But yeah, you can make a lot of money. Just don't get too drunk. And I was like, okay. I don't know why that happened, but for me, it was just like a coincidence. Like,
yeah.
Like, I've never had a stripper Uber driver before. And that time it happened. So she gave me a lot of confidence. And I was when she pulled on the other place, I was like, okay, let's do this. Nobody was there. No, because it was Sunday, so nobody was there. And I was like, knocking on the door, and then the manager said, like, oh, you want to work here? Yeah, I want to work here. And it was empty, like nobody was over there. There was only one guy. And then the manager, he was like, oh, come here. And I was scared because I didn't really know what it was gonna be.
asking
I,
or yeah.
Yeah, I got scared and he's like, "I'll give you your idea," like just like signing. And I was like, "Okay." And he's like, "Do you have your clothes right now?" "No, I don't have my clothes. Can you work right now?" "No, because do you have a tongue and do you have a bra?" "Yeah." "Okay, then you can work right now." So I started working that day. And yeah, so
wow.
That day I didn't make that much money. It was just like $40. And I was just like, okay, seven p.m. I'm not making that much money, but it's still 1,000 Mexican pesos, because in my mind I was still like thinking about dollars and Mexican pesos. How can I help my mother? How can I help my family?
Yeah.
On Mexican pesos, you know? So yeah, basically the next day I went to the club. I was wearing this makeup. I looked like a clown. I can't really remember it. Because the other girls were like with like the eyeliner like this, long, and so I was like, okay, I need to be the best stripper of the world. And then I went to CVS pharmacy and I bought makeup. I didn't have a lot of money. I showed up and the first day I made $100 and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna get rich. You know, like I was really excited. I remember the first dance when they ask you to do the like the casting or the audition.
Audition, yeah.
Yeah, I was like really not scared, because there was nothing scared. Like it was only like, how can I say it? I didn't know anything about it. So
sure.
I was just trying to
nervous.
Dance. I was nervous. I was just trying to dance.
Mm.
So I remember that I have this really short skirt and my bra, and I forgot to take my clothes off. And the manager was like, "Oh, nobody gave you money because you didn't take your clothes off." And I was like, "Oh, okay. So I need to take my clothes off for the next dance." So they call me on stage for the next 10 minutes. And then I took my bra off. I took my skirt off. I was on my tongue. And then there was a rain of dollar rain. I was like, "Woo, I'm fun." And then I was trying to like be serious, like I don't care if they're making it rain on me.
Right,
I don't care.
Right.
I'm professional, you know. And then I put all my money in the bucket. Then I went to the bathroom and I started crying, like, "Oh my god, I can't believe it! I made like $150 in 3 minutes. I can't believe it."
Oh, wow.
And I was like, "Yeah, I can pay my Uber. I can pay the round trip on my Uber. Then I can send money to my mom." And I was like really excited, because that was the first time I saw a lot of money on me, like in my hands.
In your hand, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. This is so interesting to me. I love it. And you continued to work at that club for quite a while?
Yeah, I worked on that club for like 2 years.
Mm.
But I also worked, that was only like topless club.
Mm.
And then when I moved to Long Beach, I started working on a full nude bar, and it was like really different, because all of my coworkers were doing more stuff on the private dances, which I wasn't familiarized with it. I was like, I don't know. I was just doing lap dances, but not giving like sex services to my customers.
Right.
But I actually got familiar, like I got, how can I say it? I familiarized with the prostitutes, like
right.
They were really nice to me. I've never knew like a prostitute before, and they were really nice to me. They were giving me advice or like, "Oh, you have to put a condom like this and like that, so you don't rip it." And I was like, "Okay," even if I wasn't like doing that, because I don't like to do that. So they were really nice. I remember they were Brazilians, so all the Brazilian girls were like so fucking like their asses were like this big. They were really pretty. They danced so good.
Yeah.
And everybody was trying to like just go with them, and
right,
they were really nice to me. And I learned how to respect sex workers more, because at my other club, I remember other girls giving like blowjobs or doing something else that you're not supposed to do.
Right.
They were doing it, and the other girls were like talking shit about the other girls.
Right.
And I was like, I wasn't like, oh, I don't like that girl because she gave a blowjob to her customer. But I was like, kind of, oh, she's a prostitute, you know? So when I came to that club, I was like, okay, this is normal. Like,
right.
I've seen threesomes next to my private dance. So, you know, so it became really natural to me.
Yeah.
And since they were all naked all over the club, I was like, okay, like this is natural. So I became I've never became a prostitute like that. I've never like sell sex before,
right.
But I was naked in my club. I was feeling more confident with myself. I'm shaking my ass with no thumb, you know, like that.
Right. Right.
So yeah, I was having fun on that club. Then I worked on the, can I say,
anything.
Club's name? Anything? Okay.
Anything
so
you want.
I work at the library,
uh-huh.
which is the best strip club in Vegas or California, the library.
Okay.
So I was working over there, but I was working it wasn't a fake ID, but it was my friend's ID. We looked alike because she was from Guadalajara, which is close to my city.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked like me, so I was working over there. And when I worked over there, I was feeling like, I don't know, I was feeling like a famous star because I was making a lot of money every night. I was making more than $1,000 a night.
Wow.
And I was used to make $500, $600 a night but two shifts. I was doing double shift. So when I went to the library, I was only able to work one shift, and I was making more than $1,000. So
wow.
I was really happy.
Yeah.
I was eating sushi all day long because at my other job, they only made like burgers or tacos, and over there they were selling sushi, and I was like really excited because I felt like, oh, I'm like a good dancer, I'm a good stripper, that's why I'm here at the library.
Yeah, that's so great. And you must have we've progressed to this third club, and but I'm curious, if we rewind just a little bit, your very first lap dance, was that an interesting experience, or how did you get used to that?
Well, at first I was like, oh, nobody's gonna buy me a lap dance because
request,
I saw all of these girls, they have a like big boobs, big ass, like and I was like, no, I'm skinny, I'm like, no, I don't even speak English, they're not gonna buy a lap dance for me. So the first guy bought a $200 lap dance, and I was like, okay, so he's gonna buy a $200 lap dance for 10 minutes. I was really excited. But I remember that the fourth day I was working over there, I got like really, really, really drunk because I was working in a restaurant, and I can say anything, all right?
Anything you're comfortable with,
okay.
Yes.
So then I was really drunk. Then I fucked this guy at the VIP room. And
okay.
The very next day, I didn't remember anything, but my other friends were like, oh, you did this, you did that, blah, 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 blah. And fuck you. And I was like really scared because I was like, I'm sorry, I was just too horny. Like I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I remember that guy gave me money, so I think that was like prostitution.
Well, you got technically,
yeah.
But you
Yeah, technically, yeah. And then I was like, no, I don't want to work. I don't want to work here anymore, because every day I went to bed, I was dreaming about giving my mom or my aunties a lap dance. Like, it was so uncomfortable. Like, I cannot give my mom a lap dance. I cannot give my aunties a lap dance. And I was like, just like, oh, I don't know. It was a lot of
confusion.
Confusion. I don't know if it was good, if it was bad, if I was going to make it good, if something was going to be bad. I don't know. I didn't know
by
that time. Yeah.
And that was when you had the thought of switching clubs and working somewhere else?
Yeah. I actually moved into another club because I saw this guy on the pool table, because in my club where I used to work, they had this pool table. So I was used to like play and everything. So this guy, I think he was really handsome. He looked like clean and handsome. He smelled good. And you know, when you're a stripper, you're trying to talk to all of the customers.
Yeah.
Can you hear me good?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I was with him and he's like, oh no, I don't like to spend money here. I just like to come here to play pool. I come here because my cousin is working here. She's Promise, which she was a friend of mine. And I was like, oh, is Promise your cousin? Yeah, she's my cousin, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, okay, but you're fucking handsome. So he gave me his number. I was like, he was texting me. I didn't reply.
Yeah.
Then he was like texting me. I don't know why did I reply, but I did somehow. So he's like, oh, let's go to eat something, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, yeah, let's go. Like, you seem like a good guy, everything. And then we started like dating.
Yeah.
And then everything turned to a nightmare.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But...
yeah, so that
you
was...
have another question?
So that was what really made you change.
Yeah, that was another chapter.
You mentioned your friend Promise, and we didn't ask what you were dancing, what name you were dancing using.
Okay.
What the progression of the names. Yeah.
So I didn't know that you had to use a stage name or a fake name. And I was like, okay, so I don't want my mom to find out that I'm a stripper. So I'm just gonna, put a Mexican name on my stage name.
Yeah.
Sorry, if I don't speak good English, I'm sorry.
No, you're doing great. You're very better than most comedians.
Thank you. So I was living with this lady that she passed away, I told you.
Right.
She was from Samoa, the island of Samoa. So she told me about a girl called Sefina, which was her friend, like long ago.
Yeah.
And Sefina, it was like Josefina. Jose is like Jose, Mexican name. Josefina, I was like, okay, I'm gonna be Sefina. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. Like, don't even ask me why.
I won't.
I'm going to be Sefina. That's it. You know, Sefina. Sefina. That's it.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, Sofina. No, Sefina. My name is Sefina. Yeah. I don't know why did I choose that name, but everybody started calling me Sefina, 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 Sefina.
Perfect.
And then I was trying to change that name, but the manager was like, no, everybody knows you like Sefina, so no, please don't
That's
do that
it.
To us.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. So you danced under Sefina for the whole time? Oh, you said you eventually maybe switched to your...
yeah, my real name.
Real name, okay.
Yeah. Alma.
And were you not, because you weren't concerned, did your mom ever know or find out or...
I think right now she knows, but she never asked me before, because I had a girlfriend before, Because I consider myself as a bisexual person. So I had a girlfriend before.
Uh-huh.
She used to work with me in that club, but she told my sister that I was a prostitute on that club. So I was like, my sister stopped to talk to me. And I didn't know why. I was like, oh, probably it's because she grew up. Like, she didn't want to talk to me anymore. I don't know why. But like 2 weeks ago, she told me, like, my ex-girlfriend told her that I was a prostitute and that I was doing a lot of drugs and that I was doing this and that. So she was like, oh, my sister is mean. My sister is a bad person. And she started to think a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So she talked, we talked, she was drunk and we talked like 2 weeks ago. And she's like, oh, your ex-girlfriend told me that you're a prostitute. And I'm like, I'm not a prostitute. Like,
yeah.
If you think I'm a prostitute, I'm not. I don't have anything against prostitutes.
Sure.
But I'm not a prostitute.
Yeah.
Because here in Mexico, if you're a prostitute, it's because you are with the gangsters, with the cartels, with bad people, you know? So
yeah.
My sister was really concerned about me being a prostitute.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, all this time I've been thinking that you were a prostitute, and I got really scared of you, and I got really scared of everything. And I was like, no, I'm not a prostitute, but I don't have anything against them. I have an OnlyFans. Yeah, I do this. I've been straight before, but I haven't, like...
Right.
Which I had, but I didn't tell my sister.
one time a thing happened that's different than, but also her perception, like you said, was what it's like in Mexico, and I don't know why I said Mexico. Mm-hmm. I don't speak Mexico.
I don't speak Mexico.
But not like what it's like in some parts of the States, where it's just a bit different. There's no connection to the mob or gangs necessarily, or cartel.
Yeah.
So she was legitimately scared.
It is.
Yeah, wow. You were here for 2 years in the States, or?
It was 3 years, but I worked over there for 2 years.
Mm. Gotcha.
And then when it was like the COVID and everything, 1 year ago, actually.
Yeah.
I've always suffered about like panic attacks or like anxiety attacks. So when it was the COVID, I was really, I didn't know what to think about my family, because I was like, okay, so there's this virus, and if my family is going to die, I'm not going to be able to see them anymore. So I was really concerned about it. And I was getting like panic attacks, but like really huge panic attacks, and I was like, I'm scared. No, like, I was crying, and I was like begging my friend, like, please, like, take me to the hospital, I'm gonna die, blah, blah, blah. She's like, no, bitch, I'm not gonna take you to the hospital, because there's the coronavirus and you're gonna get it. I was like, okay. So I was like trying to calm myself down.
Yeah.
But it was like consistently the panic attacks. So
yeah.
I was like, I'm not doing good here. I'm not making money. So I was asking my mom to bring me my money back, which I was every Saturday. I was depositing money to my mom.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So she can put it into my account from here, from Mexico.
Okay.
But by that time, I didn't have work because the clubs shut down.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to start like asking my mom to bring me my money back. But if you send dollars to Mexican pesos, and then if you try to get it like, you know, on return, it's going to be bad, because you're paying like the taxes and the fees and everything. So I asked my mom for like $8,000, and they like, I spent it like fucking
quickly.
Quick. So I had a panic attack. Then we went to this house with my friend's boyfriend, and I don't know why, but he got mad at her and he put a gun out and he was like, oh, get the fuck out of here. And he was like doing this to me. So I got scared and I was like, I don't want my mom to cry because I was dead on the United States. So yeah. I took an Uber, I got home, and then my friend, which was that fucking stupid guy,
sure,
girlfriend. So she was like, what do you do? Do you call the police? Like, they're gonna deport me because she's from here too. But she is right now a, not a citizen, how you call him? A resident.
Uh-huh.
So she needs to be good all the time because if she does something bad, she's gonna get deported. Like,
right.
Like they did to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, that day she's like, oh, you called to the police? So you better go away to my house. I don't want you anymore in my house. So I ran away from her house. I talked to my mom and to my auntie. They were like, you don't have to suffer over there. You have your house here. You have your family here. Yeah. What do you have to suffer over there? Because by that time I was living on a boat because one friend, it was a client, a customer of my first strip club that I was working at.
Right.
And he's like, oh, okay, I can bring you to my boat. He was leaving me a boat. So I went to sleep. Then the next day I woke up in a boat and I was like, I don't even like the sea. I don't even like the ocean. The ocean makes me scared. Why am I living on the ocean? And I was like, no, I need to do something about it. Then it was when my auntie told me to come back here. I came back here and then I couldn't come back over to the United States. But that's right. Another story.
Yeah. Sure, sure. So you chose to go back home for a visit, like for a small amount of time, and you were going to come back to the States, but then you got told
I couldn't. Yeah.
I see. And so now you are living back where you lived before you came here, or a different home, or because you said you were flipping houses.
Yeah.
And involved in real estate, correct?
Yeah. I'm living right now here on the same place. I'm going to change the spot because it's getting really dark here.
Sure.
So I was living here in Aguascalientes, which is like a good place to live. But then when I came here from the United States, I was like, okay, yeah, like this is a good place to live, but nobody's making money. Like people is making probably $1,000 a month if they're rich. Because here, if you make $1,000 a month, it's because you're doing good, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, I've done like $1,500 a month. So I don't wanna be like poor person, you know? So I started like flipping houses again. And then I was here and my mom was like, oh, don't go back to California because right now we need you here. You don't know if your grandmother is gonna like get sick. You don't know anything. So I was like, okay, sure. I'm gonna stay here. Everything is gonna be good, blah, blah, blah. I had my money. And then when I was trying to come back, I went to the airport, and then this officer of the airport called. She's like, I was getting off the plane, and she's like, come here. And I was like, oh, what did I do? She's like, oh, can you show me your suitcase, please? Can you show me your baggage? Okay, yeah. I didn't have anything on me, but I had two butt plugs. Because I like to wear butt plugs when I dance.
Okay.
So, wait.
Sure.
I'm trying to look like this. So I was wearing the butt plugs. And she's like, what are those? And I'm like, oh, I didn't know. Why did I tell her that? But I was like, oh, I'm giving that to my friend because she asked me for it, and she's like, oh, they don't sell this in the USA. I'm like, I don't know, my friend. I was lying to her.
Sure.
She's like, okay, come here. We're going to, like, bring you to this, I don't know what.
Interrogation
else.
Yeah. Or question. Yeah,
Yeah. They started to ask me a lot of things. They started to look into my baggage, into my all my stuff. They didn't find anything but my butt plugs.
Yeah.
So they were like, she's like, okay, give me your password of your phone. And I was like, damn, okay, it's 0880. And she's like, are you a prostitute? I'm like, no, I'm not. So what do you have a lot of pictures of guys showing you their dick? I'm like, I don't know, because I'm like that. And then she started like doing a whole research on my Uber, my Google App Store, my app, wow, my Apple Store. So she found out that I was working at the library, at that the Angels Club, at that Dreams. And then she's like, I know you've been working here and here and here and here. And I was like, damn, like, I can't lie anymore, you know? Like,
right.
I'm just going to be honest, because I'm not in my country. So I just got to be honest to her.
Right.
So when I started to be honest, she started to be nicer to me. She started to be nice, because she was being mean to me. So she started being nice. And I was like, damn, like, I have to, because she told me, like, if you don't tell me the truth, you're going to be on jail for 3 weeks. And I was like, I better be on my house watching Netflix for 3 weeks without getting any money, but I don't want to be on the airport. I was on LAX, and I was like, okay, so I do this and that. And so I went to the ICE office.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, we can't have you anymore here. Like, this is not something bad you did, but you broke the rules. Working here is not bad, but you broke the rules.
Gotcha.
So we had to take your visa off for 5 years. So they took my visa off for 5 years. And I was like, okay, I'd rather be with my mom and hug her and like cry like a baby. And I was like, okay, it's good. So I took my pills, because by that time I was taking pills for my anxiety.
Yeah.
I got laid on the airport, and it was like 24 hours, and then they brought me back into where I am right now.
Yeah. Wow. And when did you in all of this start, like, you worked in the strip clubs, did you start doing OnlyFans while you were in the States, or when you got back home to Mexico, or?
No, I actually, when I was in the States, I'm sorry for all the OnlyFans girls that are working, but when I was over there, I was like, I'm not going to make $100 for showing my ass online. I'm making $1,000 on the strip club. Why should I do that online?
Yeah.
Like, if my mom is gonna see it, if my sister is gonna watch it, why should I do that online?
Yeah.
If I work on the strip club, if somebody's recording me, like, I don't think he's gonna upload it to like the internet. So I was like, no, I'm not gonna make an OnlyFans, because that's for broke girls. That's the truth. Like,
sure.
I was feeling like, no, I'm not gonna do that. So then when I came here, I started work on this, you call it, I don't know how you call it, but
it's
like a red zone. So if you wanna be a stripper, if you wanna be a sex worker, you have to fill this worksheets, and then you have to be accepted to work in that
field.
Club.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So all of that clubs over there, this is how they work. They don't have like, how you call it, when you enter to a club, they don't have a cover fee.
Yes.
And they only is like, oh, there are those, they are the girls that are here.
Yeah.
So if you want them, you can stay here. And I try to work over there because a friend of mine owns a club over there. But it's a zone that is really far from the city.
Yeah.
So they pay you, it's $50 at night. You can, it's double shift, $50. But what you do the most is to drink. You have to drink in order to get paid. Yeah. It's not like in the United States that you have to give lap dances in order to get paid. Here is like you have to drink a lot of alcohol. Sometimes you can tell like the bartender, like, I cannot drink anymore.
Yeah.
Just like pour me water on my beer. Sure. And just tell the customer that my beer was, I don't know, $100, you know?
Yeah.
But the customers are really used to get fucked for the lap dances. So I came here and I was working over there and they were like, oh, do you do the rooms? They call them the rooms because all the clubs over here, they have an hotel.
How is it? Attached?
Yeah, attached.
Uh-huh.
But it's like legal, it's not illegal. If you want to be a prostitute here, you have to like fill a whole paper sheet and everything. Yeah. They take you pictures, they take you your phone number, everything. They actually make you do a proof that you're not pregnant, that you don't have HIV, yeah, that you don't have any disease, that you sexual disease.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm gonna do that and everything. And then a lot of guys were asking me to have sex with them, but for $20. And I was like,
right.
That was my lap dance in LA. So I was like, no. I'm not gonna do that because I don't want to. But a lot of my friends were doing me a lot of money because they were giving that service. But right. Here in Mexico is more like about sex, not like lap dances. Gotcha. Actually, here is not like fun. It's more like porn, you know?
Gotcha.
It's not like, oh, I'm going to have fun in a strip club. I'm going to like make it rain. No. They don't make it rain here, like, because we have coins. They can make it rain on you with coins, you know?
Yeah.
So here is like, they pay you, so they have sex with you.
Yeah.
So it's really different. And actually, there's, you call them the cartel. I don't know if you have. So yeah. This cartel, they have this zone and they sell you drugs that you want, but nobody can get into that zone because if you get into that zone and try to sell drugs, they're going to kill you. Right. So at the same time, it's really dangerous to work over there because even if you're not doing like prostitution, even if you're not doing drugs, somebody can like come to your club, and if somebody is mean, if they like you, they might be like, oh, I like that girl and I want her on my bed tonight.
Right.
So like the owners of the club are like, okay, like, hey, you Christina, to. You have to go with him, blah blah blah.
Right.
So it's pretty scary because you don't know who you are working to. In the United States, you know, you're working to people that probably they sell drugs, they sell like marijuana, cocaine or something.
Yeah.
But you feel that that you're safe. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because you are in the United States. But if you're here, you feel like you're lost.
You know, wow.
And they pay you. I was working over there from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. So it was really hard to me because I wasn't used to that schedule. Because at my other work in the United States, I was working from 2 to 2. It was 12 hours, but it was from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Like kind of normal.
So, yeah, like kind normal. Of normal schedule, you know? So, yeah, basically.
So did you just stop? Here, You stopped working there?
I stopped working here because I got a new boyfriend. Yeah, so, and then I started to, he was like, oh, why don't you do your OnlyFans? And I was like, oh, will you let me? Even if I don't like to ask men to like, oh, would you let me? Well, I did it, you know? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you can do it, blah, blah, blah. So I did it and I started to tell all my customers from LA, and they started to join my OnlyFans, and then I was like, I'm getting a lot of money out of it. I'm not even getting touched. They're not even like talking to me. Like, I'm just like typing, you know? Yeah. And I started to make good money, not a lot of money as I was doing in the club, but I was doing good money to live here.
Yeah.
I was making more than a doctor makes here, you know?
Right.
So I started to like, trying to improve my content and be good with my customers and OnlyFans. So right now I'm 10% of all around the world. So
nice.
I think I'm doing good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. And you just film or take the photos in your home or?
I was doing it by myself, but 3 days ago, a friend of mine told me that he could take pictures and he took me, he did a photo shoot, a whole photo shoot of mine, of me. And it was so good. I'm going to send it to you so you can send it to your followers so they can.
Sure. Yeah. We'll get you some customers.
It was like kind of like 2000.
Wow.
How do you say it? Like 2000 style. And it was good. But my OnlyFans, I have like a lot of stuff.
Wonderful. Yeah. And you, and one of the things we talked about briefly is that sitting on cakes, how did that materialize or come about?
Okay. So I was watching a lot of satisfying videos on Instagram. And I was like, why not doing satisfying videos for adults, like for grown people?
Yeah.
So right now I'm smashing cakes. I'm popping bubble wrap. Have you seen the bubble wrap? So I'm doing it like I'm
wrapping it.
Wrapping it, and then I'm like
popping it.
I don't know how to say it. Yeah, so I'm trying to do satisfying videos, and they're like all my customers have been liking it a lot. So then I'm gonna still doing it, and on Pornhub, X videos and everything, I'm doing good. Even if I'm getting shadow banning on Instagram, because you know all these new laws.
Yeah.
They can even find me, even if they write my correct username, they can even find me. So I'm fighting against that, against like shadow banning, but I think I'm doing good.
That's the Instagram we shared, that one.
Okay.
Now Twitter doesn't block as much, do they?
No, but I only have 200 followers.
Yeah, it's hard. Twitter is
but hard. They buy from me.
That's good. So that's good that you're doing well with all of this. And we call it in the pivoting, where you have to just kind of adjust to what's new. And for me, it's a lot of like, I'm a stand-up comedian. I don't know if you knew, but
I know.
Oh, okay. So I was going to do a I'm doing a show virtually tonight for college kids. And I wouldn't have ever done that a year ago, but here we are, right?
So I know.
Maybe I should start popping bubble wrap and sitting on cakes. We'll see.
Bro, you're going to get rich.
That's how I'm going to get rich, right?
Yeah.
You have a very unique difference. Like you've answered all the questions, and I didn't even have to ask them, which is wonderful. But when you were, I am curious, when you danced, when you were stripping, what you chose for songs, because of you have a history in dance, you are from Mexico. I'm curious what your choices were.
Well, all my choices were like, I don't know if you've heard about reggaeton music.
I don't know. I don't
it's so. Like kind of like reggae music, mm-hmm. but from Latin America. It's more like, it's like rap music. They talk about sex, like about like, oh, you have beautiful ass, like twerk, you know.
Yeah.
I had to dance for that song because my customers liked it, because my club was mostly full of Mexican customers. Mm. So I used to like to dance to Mexican artists.
Sure.
So they can like relate to the music. They were like, oh, you dance to that song. Like, there you go. There's like $50 because you dance to that song and I like that song. So I used to, because most of the girls used to strip for rap songs, hip hop songs, and I used to dance to Spanish songs, Mexican songs. And since there were a lot of Mexican dudes in my club, they were like, oh, I love you, because blah, 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 you know?
Of course.
Yeah. So that was good.
Very smart, and also probably you were more used to it. Did your skills as a Tahitian dancer help you on stage? Yeah. Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, "Oh, if you can move your hips like that, why should you do when you're like fucking someone?"
Well, yeah. You'll never...
they were like amazed because the way I move my hips, I don't want to be like stuck up. I don't want to sound like stuck up, but the way I move my hips is like really interesting to some of the guys. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, it sounds to me that you were unique. And that's huge when it comes to a strip club or any anything sort of sexual, because your thought was, well, women with enormous boobs and fat asses and dancing to raps, I'm not going to make any money. And it and it turns out you're unique. I mean, a great dancer, but a unique kind of dance, a unique kind of song that maybe not other people are used to. And in America, we call it niche.
You have a niche.
Yeah. And that was huge. And now on OnlyFans, you have niches as well. It's very smart. Good. Yeah. You're a good businesswoman.
I am.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And all of the money I'm getting from OnlyFans, I'm investing in on flipping houses, so probably I'm gonna be the next billionaire.
I hope that's true. I would love to see how does real estate there work? I'm so curious. Is it doing well? Is it taking out loans like we do in the States? Is it or do you have to have the cash? Or how does it work? I'm ignorant.
Yeah, you have to have the cash. But at first, before I was starting to like being a stripper, I was doing this like real estate. I was a real estate broker.
Yeah.
So I got able to save a lot of money. And the good thing here in Mexico is that you can get a property with a minimum.
Amount of money.
So I bought my first house for $15,000, and then I flip it, and then I sell it from $30,000. I mean, not $15,000, $50,000. Then I sold it for $30,000.
Wow.
And I really like to do it because I was building the house as I like houses, and a lot of people like my work. So right now that's what I'm doing. Like tomorrow I'm gonna paint the house and I'm gonna do stuff so I can flip it. And
yeah,
it's good because my OnlyFans money is going to my flip houses business. And it's been good because it's dollars, and you flip it into Mexican pesos. Every dollar is 20 Mexican pesos, so well, it's good, you know.
That is good.
Yeah, it is.
My ex-wife, she's an interior designer, and her boyfriend's an architect. So together as a team, they do a really good job. Flipping Seattle houses, which are expensive. So you do a lot of the work.
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff. It's not like only my OnlyFans. I do a lot of stuff to get my money. Yeah.
But you do a lot of the work on the houses that you flip, it sounds like.
I'm always laying on my bed and I'm making money.
Passive income.
Yeah.
But also work too. So that's
It is work, but you're comfortable, you know.
Yeah. And now you're home and how's mom and auntie and grandma, are they all okay? Are they doing well?
Well, my grandma died.
Okay.
And then I came back to Mexico. My mom is good.
Yeah.
She already knows that I was a stripper, that I'm doing my OnlyFans. She's good because she's an actual, really open-minded person. She's like, okay, it's good. Like, as long as you're not a mean person, a bad person, it's okay. Yeah. Like,
that's great.
Because she's really like, she gives me her credit card and she's really confident about me. And she's like, okay, you have 24 years old, you can do whatever you want, but you have to pay me what you owe me. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And she loves me, and my grandmother from here loves me too. And I think I'm getting a lot of support about my family because my ex-girlfriend told a lot of my family members that I was a prostitute, so they became like really like, oh, Christina is a prostitute, like she's probably in danger, because being a prostitute here is a huge deal. It's not like over there. Right. Being a prostitute here is like, oh, you have to fuck with like cartel guys, like narco guys, you know. So my family was really concerned about it, and then when I found out that my girlfriend was saying bad things about me, I told my family group on WhatsApp, like, hey, just in case if you were wondering, I'm not a prostitute, like, don't even worry about me. Like, I'm just like stripping, I'm doing my OnlyFans, I do porn, but like, don't even worry about me. It's not like I don't like being a prostitute, but here in Mexico, if you're a prostitute, it's because you're really tough. Like, your skin is tough, like everything about yourself is tough, because it's a hard job to give like cartel guys, of like crazy guys, sex, like sex, you know. So I really never got into that, but like one day a guy was like, I'm gonna give you 15,000 Mexican pesos, but I'm just gonna give you a massage. And I was like, okay, let's do that.
Sure.
And so he brought me to the room, and he was just giving me a massage. And I was like, okay, I'm getting paid, and that's it.
Yeah.
But I've never felt safe here, because you never know what's going to happen.
Right, you know? Right. Well, it sounds like they're very supportive, and you're back in a good place mentally and all those things. And is it open there with COVID? Is it are things closed down, or is it
people here believes in Jesus Christ?
Yeah, okay.
So they're like, let's go to the club, you know. Like, they pray, but they go to the club. So
it's Jesus, like, would want me to snort a line of cocaine.
Yeah, so it's like kind of that. There's like the red zone, they shut it down, but they still working.
Mm-hmm.
Because here, even if you're not doing things legally, you can do things under the table.
Yeah.
And nobody's gonna say anything about it. So I think people here is working as they did it before, but the people that is getting worse and worse is the poor people, you know,
because
of this, the COVID and things.
I see. Wow. So different. I'll have to come to visit, and I've never, like I said, I've never been to anywhere in Mexico, which is very odd. Everybody from Seattle they go to vacation in Mexico, and yeah. I just never went. You are so interesting and wonderful to talk to. I could talk all day, but I have, I guess I have other work to do. I'm sure people are very curious. We'll do a follow-up episode, I suppose.
We're going to do a second one.
Yeah, please. I would love to. And I know that people are going to want to follow you for sure. And we will try and promote as much as we can.
Thank you.
Again, Instagram, Alma Cristina, CRISTINAAA. Twitter, Alma Cristina 96. OnlyFans, Alma Cristina. Alma Cakes on Xvideos and Pornhub, if you'd like to see that. I'm sure you would. I'm very curious. Phenomenal talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'll press stop, but we'll chat for a second afterwards. Okay. Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.